Good evening. Good place to be again. Good to see every one of you. God's been good to us. I've been kind of all day enjoying the day, this morning service, how good it was, and the Lord was with us. And I thought about Greg. He got up here to teach, and the Lord was leading in a different way, and you know, Greg never got mad, nothing. Appreciate you, buddy. Ain't it good when the Lord can just take over and things go good? I'm glad. You know what? Sometimes we think, maybe we think, he'll give us a good service of a morning, and might not be a good one. He's big enough, he can give us one all day if we want it. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad of every one of you. God's been good to me. I don't have a thing in the world to grumble about. I know a lot of people that have a lot to on their mind that they have to pray about, and I guess they could grumble if they needed to. But anyway, I feel blessed tonight that the Lord has blessed me like He has. I thought this morning, I'll tell this story. The man that sat back here in the back, Maxie Wheels, and I've known him for a long time. And used to go to church with him back over at Allen's Fork, remember? Seen him saved over there, him and his whole family. And things happened down through life, but anyway, I was glad to see him back in church, him and part of his family this morning. But I thought, I seen him and his dad both saved. And I got a little bit of a funny story. His dad, he's gone now. Lord took him on home. But I got a little bit of a funny story to tell you about him. Wasn't too long after he was saved, why, we was going to leave out and was going to Myrtle Beach. Max's dad, they just all moved down there. And he was the last one to go. He had to come home, take care of some paperwork and stuff, but he wanted to know if he could ride down with us. We told him fine. Boy, when he got in the car with me, he was glad he was saved. Because at that time, I was working a lot and working a lot of overtime, and I didn't know how to say no when they want to work overtime. I just worked it. I guess maybe I was greedy, Al. I don't know. But on the way down, I felt something hit me on the shoulder, and he was waking me up. I was out in the middle, between the two lanes, running and sleeping. And I think Max was really glad that he got saved at that time. So anyway, I thought about that this morning. But we can have good tales to tell. It's good to have a little fun. Glad of every one of you. You got a testimony tonight. We got a lot of good things going on. And you know what? I got to tell this too. We had a good choir practice this evening, but we had a problem up here. And let me finish. It was a good problem. And I thank the ones that's in charge of the young people for this. They was lined up across through here. There was hardly enough room for them. That's a good problem to have. And I thought about that. I was thankful for that. And it made me feel good. They was just trying to, it was just hard to get them up here. And all the ones that teach them and everything, their teachers, I'll tell you one thing, we appreciate you. We really do. Appreciate them. We got some good replacements coming on, and right now they're making the cards on this old one. So anyway, we're glad of them. Y'all get in the service tonight. You got a testimony. We want to hear it. And I'm no leader. You can tell that by listening to me. But I'll do my best. But I want the Lord to take over. I just love to see the Lord take over. And the choir is supposed to sing a couple songs. They may not get to sing any, or they may sing five. Who knows? You never know what the Lord might want. Let Him take over, and I guarantee you it'll work. So Chris, if you're ready, let's get a song. And after wait a minute. I've changed my mind. I think we need to go to prayer. I don't want to start off without a prayer. I thought maybe we'd sing some, didn't have a prayer, but I like we better go to prayer now. I'm sure we got prayer requests. Let's go ahead and take them. Anybody got any? Of course, we're praying, still praying for Wilma Bean. She's got a lot going on, and the Lord will intervene. He will. He can do it. And when the doctors can't, he can. So let's pray for her. Most of all, she's not a Christian. Let's pray that the Lord will save her, and that'll take care of all of it. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Remember my mom and me and my sisters. We're not real sure at this point about the road. We're going to have to travel maybe over the next few months. So just remember us.
Sure. Let's remember. Let's remember the cantata that's coming up. We've been practicing hard. But everybody wants to sing and do the best they can. That's the point. But what I'd like to see most of all, everything, I'd like to see them all sound good, which I know they will. But boy, wouldn't it be good if we could just see somebody saved through all this. That's the main goal right there. Just see somebody saved and have this picture everything. Glad to have you, Bernard. Glad to see you tonight. Bless your heart. I just kind of love you a little bit there. So if you would, let's go to prayer. TJ, would you stand and lead us out in prayer?
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and darkness pining, till He appeared, gift of infinite worth. Behold the child in yonder manger lowly. 'Tis God's own Son come down in human form. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, light divine, oh, light, when Christ was born. Joy, when in eternal splendor He shall return in His glory to reign. When every tongue do praise to Him shall render His power and might to all nations proclaim. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks that glad eternal morn.
Passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Savior, pardon me from guilt and shame, I know. I'll trust His saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me at heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, have no friend like you. If heaven not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The saints in glory land are shouting victory. I want to join their band and live eternally. I hear the sweetest praise from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Wonder if anybody's got a testimony before we turn Brother Rob loose. I think it's a good place to be tonight. All right, Brother Rob, are you ready?
Good evening. How are we doing this evening? Blessed. Had a good day. Did you have a good day? Yeah. Having a good night? Yeah. Knock that thing down before night's over with. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. If everybody's done, anybody got a word for the Lord? Quiet tonight. Quiet tonight. All right, Acts chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then there were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quintillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly.' And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.' And so he did. And he saith unto him, 'Cast thy garment about thee and follow me.' When he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, that thought it was a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.' And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you, God, for another chance to come into your house, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have a good, comfortable place to worship. Father, when we look around us, we see all the blessings we have just right here in this moment. And Lord, we're so thankful for all those, God. We want to thank you that, Lord, you do so much for us. You've done so much for us. And Lord, we know that you're going to continue to do for us, God, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your compassion, Father. We ask right now, Lord, as we look into your word and your scripture, Lord, that you would speak to us. Speak to each one of us tonight, Father, in our life, what we're going through. Give us the word for right now. Give us the word for tomorrow, Father. Strengthen us for tomorrow's battles, God. Lord, just help us to take to heart all that you have for us, Lord. Speak to each one individually. And Lord, speak to us as a church as a whole, Father. Lord, whatever's done, we give you praise and we give you glory and honor. For it's in the sweet name of Jesus Christ that we pray. We love you tonight. We thank you tonight. And amen. Just for a couple of minutes, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer and power and love. Prayer and power and love. You know, I thought about something. We go through life and we have all these processes, you know. 10 steps to do this and 6 steps to attain that and 9 steps for this and steps to break this and to break habits and to break addictions and just better self-esteem and all these steps. And I'm like, you know, I've got a 1-step process. That's all I've got. It's a 1-step process. But that's all I need. That's all I can handle because I'm not patient enough. If it took 12 steps, I don't know that I'd get there. If I had to go through so many, I wouldn't take that many because I want it sooner. I think it should be take less. So I've got a 1-step process for you tonight. It's going to solve all your ails of life. A 1-step process that's going to acquire all that you need to acquire. It's a 1-step process to take care of everything, whether it's addiction, whether it's habits, whether it's the financial, whether it's emotional, whatever it is, it's a 1-step process. Because I can't go farther than that. Because that's all we need, a 1-step process. And that 1-step is prayer. Prayer. You know, we talk a lot about all we can do, or we can't do nothing else. When we can't do anything else, that we can pray. That's all we can do. Well, but that's what we need to do. That's the 1-step process. The key to life. The key to life as you want it. The key to life as you and I need it. The key to life as God has it for us. The key in the steps and the process simply is prayer. And when we get a hold of that, when we get a hold of prayer and what it can do and how it can help, when we get that within us, well, a lot of things will start to happen. Life will change. We'll see God move. It's a 1-step process of prayer. Prayer does a lot of things. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to bringing blessings. You know, we all want blessed in life. We all want to have God shine upon us. And how many of you don't want to be blessed? Anybody not want to be blessed? Any of you want to be blessed? Yeah, well, half of you. God, you don't have a lot of work to do. Maybe tonight, by the end, the rest of us will want it. But, you know, we all want to be blessed. And we think, why? We look around at people and we go, man, that person or that couple or that family, they're so blessed. Why am I not? We look around and we think, oh, if only, but not me. Why not? Well, a lot of it comes back to prayer because if we get our prayer life right, blessings will come down. When we get our prayers going up to God, it says that His presence comes down and His blessings come down and He just inhabits that. When our prayer goes up, God comes down and it's the key to many blessings that we don't normally get, that we wouldn't get without it. Prayer can be the key to getting the victory. The key to getting the victory. 1-step. Step pray. Step one, pray. Can get you the victory. When we're going through the battle, when we're going through the fight and the devil's attacking us and the devil, maybe you feel like he's winning. Maybe you're right now. Maybe right now you're in the middle of a battle and you think, I am losing this thing. I'm not gaining any ground. I'm going backwards. Maybe you're just standing still. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere. The devil seems like he's winning. There's times when it's true. There's times when even though we're a child of the King and a child of the one who's already won the victory, there's times when we feel like the devil is beating us. Well, the Bible says that in those moments, if we would just learn to go to prayer in that moment, go to God in prayer, open up our heart to God and speak to God, that prayer can bring to you the victory. It can bring your blessings. It can bring your victory. It's what you can use to overcome. When the devil throws trials and temptations and the world is coming against you and you feel like you can't do anything and you can't make it, no, I always fall into that. I always give in to that. I always fail in that trial. I always fail in that temptation. Maybe it's because I don't pray in that moment when that happens, when I get to that trial and that temptation. Maybe I don't take that 1-step and I don't pray. Maybe I'll try to do it on my own. The Bible says if we would just go to God in prayer, he's the one that already overcame the world. So overcoming will go through him, come through him. And it says it's our faith that causes us to overcome. And it's our prayer that makes faith action. It's our prayer that makes faith move. It's our prayer that makes things happen. And when we go to prayer, we can overcome through that. We can overcome whatever the devil has against us, whatever the devil brings, whatever test, trial, or temptation. It's prayer. It's communing with God. It's that relationship with God that can take us over and take us to what we need. It's the thing that breaks the chains. Anybody ever feel like the devil just has chains wrapped around you and you just can't move? You just can't get rid of them? You know, we hear a lot about drugs. We hear a lot about drugs and alcohol and the grip that gets on people and the grip that gets on some people and they can't break it. You know, and what about smoking? I'm not saying it's right, I'm saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's a chain that people can't break. Now, I have a friend, though. He smoked for 182 years. And I don't ever exaggerate, ever, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. He told me once, though, we were talking about it. He said, Rob, quitting smoking is the easiest thing to do. It is the easiest thing to do. He said, I done did it 6 times today. But he'd also started back 6 times. You see, things get within us and thing addictions and they grab a hold of us and we get in the middle of it and we can't defeat it. We can't fight it. We can't stop it and we try. But the Bible says that if we would go to prayer and if we would turn it over to God, that he can break those chains and break those strongholds and tear them down. And through prayer, through going to God and laying it at his feet and saying, God, I can't do it. I've tried and I can't. Whatever it is, he says, I can take it for you and I can break that chain and I can help stop. You know, it's kind of like a habit. How many of you got habits you wish you could break, you wish you could stop, right? You know what they say it takes to start a habit? 21 days in a row doing it. You know what it takes to stop it? 21 days in a row to stop it. I wouldn't know. I never make 21 days. It's too long. I need one. Give me one. Tell me when in one day I can stop it. That's all it takes. They say 21 days, but you know what? A lot of things we can't do, God can. We can't do, but God can. Someone said, you know, the doctors do all they can, but when they can't, God can. And that is so true. And when I can't, God can. And when I finally give up and give in, and we turn it over to God, and we say, God, we talk to him about it, and we tell him how hard it is and how difficult it is, and we say, we can't, and you have to. He says, all right, I'll do it. That's all I needed was you to give it to me, you to talk to me about it. You know, prayer is also the thing that gets you revelation. Get you revelation in life. Because a lot of times that's what we need is just revelation to what's going on. A revelation to what God's will is and how it's working. Maybe you're in the middle of God's will, but you just don't see how it's working out. God can give you revelation. Prayer will get that for you. You know, when you seem like you're looking into the dark, we can pray the light down. When we think we can't see beyond, we can pray and get beyond that. Why? Because prayer gets us touched with God, in tune with God. That's what prayer can do. It really is that simple. Really is. God says prayer is where your power is. Prayer is plugging into the source. You want power in this life? I want power in this life. What I need to check is my prayer life. My prayer life. How's my prayer life? How's your prayer life? What's going on with your prayer life? You see, prayer life, Bible says it like this. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It's to be in a constant mindset of prayer, a constant heart of prayer, a constant thought of prayer. That my question would be this. How often do we pray? How often do we pray? Well, preacher, I pray 3 times a day. Well, I'm better than you. I pray 6 times a day. Well, I've got you beat. I pray 10 times a day. I pray 12 times a day. Every hour. It's not about how many, it's about how often. What's the difference? Well, if we're going to gauge our prayer life by a number of in a day, let's look at this. There's 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes in a day, 86,400 seconds in a day. Now, how much time of that do I pray? Not about how many times, but how often. What I mean is when life happens. When things go wrong, do you pray? Do I pray right then? When things go wrong, do I pray right then? When hard times come, do I pray right then? When I'm in the middle of a trouble, do I pray right then? Do I wait till it's happening, or do I pray when it starts? What about when a friend is in trouble? Do I pray right then? What about if I'm sick? Do I pray right then? What about if a friend? How many of you have ever been asked this? Would you pray for me? Have you ever been asked that? Would you pray for me? My question is this to me. And I'm going to ask me this question. You can ask the same thing to yourself. Do I pray right then? Or do I go, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Talk to you later. Now, when I say, yeah, I'll pray for you, what are my intentions? I'm going to pray for you. But if I don't do it right then, what many times happens? I go on with my day and I forget I even said those words to you. And I never pray. So, not how many times, but how often, in the moment, how about when things go right? Do we pray then? You see, it's not only wrong. It's not only when we see the blue lights behind us, right? Yeah? I was at another church one time, and I was talking about this, and I made that statement. On the way home that night, I kid you not, in my rearview mirror, blue lights came flying. And I thought, I am never saying that in church again. But I did it, so you can drive home tonight. But I kid you not, blue lights came flying. I was like, oh, my goodness. And I was like, all right. But he went on by, and I was like, whoo! It works. Prayer really works. In the moment, it's that powerful. He just went right on by. Prayed him right by. Whoo! But I said I'd never say that again, but I did. But, you know, God said to us, come unto me and now let us reason together. Come and pray now. Now. Not in a minute, but right when it happens. How often, not how many times. In the moment, now. You know how many blessings you get when you pray now? When you pray now, but when you don't wait? What I mean? Do this week. If somebody says pray for me, do it right then. Just do it. Just do it. It's going to seem awkward if you don't do that. It really will. You're going to be like, I said I would. And they just asked me that. You're in like split seconds, you go through this. I said I would do it now, and they just asked me, but I've never done it. How will they act? How will they react? Should I? I'm not sure. Should I? What's going to happen? Just do it. When you do it, amazing things happen. When you do it right then, your faith is stronger. Their faith is stronger, and God's presence is stronger. When I put it off, and I do remember, my faith is not as strong through that prayer because I've waited. But when you do, so this week, if anybody says pray for me, do it right then. Just do it right then. Don't wait. Be now. Pray now. Be often in the moment of prayer. Do it now. So we got to think, how do we pray? By opening up your heart. Nice, open up your heart. Just do that. Just reach in and go, be open and honest. Say, God, here it is. Here I am, good, bad, the ugly. Right here it is, God. Let's just talk right here. You know what? God said, I know the thoughts and intents of your heart. So he already knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling. He already knows what you want to pray about. He knows what you want to pray about. You know, we don't always pray what we want to pray about. We pray what we think God wants to hear. You know, what God wants to hear, not what we want to pray about. Just tell him what you want to pray about. He already knows anyway. We're not going to fool God for one moment. Not going to fool him for one moment. So we got to just open up and be honest. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is honest communication with Jesus. Honest communication with God. It's the key to unlocking whatever it is that is locked in your life. It's the key to unlocking whatever is locked in your life. So we got to be open and honest. We got to think, though, who are you praying to? Think about who you're praying to. You're praying to the one who has all the power. You're praying to the one who has all the power. The Bible says in Matthew, Jesus says, all power is given to me, all power. Not some, not most, not a bunch of it, but all of it. All the power in heaven and all the power on earth is given to me. So the one you're praying to is the one who has all the power already. He can do what he wants. And yeah, I said he can do what he wants because he can. I can't do all that I want all the time, but he can always do what he wants, and he wants good for you. He wants to do good for you, and he has the power to do that. So we got to remember that he has all the power. The one you're praying to is the one who has all the power anyway, and he's the one, the Bible says it's his name. It's above every other name. His name that's above every other name. Everybody falls below. Everybody pales in comparison. Everybody shrinks beside him. The Bible says that his name is above every other name, and at his name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is God to the glory of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus and that name alone, just the name of Jesus, has the power of God. James puts it like this. James says that that power of God and that power of Jesus, the one you're praying to, the one you're asking to get involved in your life, to take part in your life, to represent you in your life. The Bible says in James, he says that that power makes the devils tremble and makes the demons tremble and makes them shudder. You know, when Jesus comes on the scene, when you invite Jesus, because he's a gentleman, he's not going to force himself in, but if you need him, he's ready and waiting. And if you think you don't need him, he's still ready and waiting. That's the good thing. Times we feel strong and we think, I got this, I'm okay. Jesus is still ready for you. He's still ready, waiting, because there'll be a day, a moment, when you go, oh, I can't handle this. Jesus says, I've been here the whole time, just waiting for you. But yeah, when he comes on the scene, when he just shows up, when Jesus just shows up, the devils start to tremble, and they start to fear, and they get afraid, and they go into a fit. You know, the Bible says one time he got off the boat and landed the Gadarenes, and there met him. There met him. He wasn't going to this guy, these demons. The Bible says they met him. They saw him afar off, and the devils got scared. They became afraid, and they got worried, and they cried out, Jesus, Son of God, what have we to do with you? Notice that he just showed up. He didn't do nothing else. He just walked on the scene. He just stepped foot around there, and everything changed there. When he comes into town, when he comes into your moment, when he comes into your situation, things start to change without anything else happening. Just Jesus showing up makes devils flee. And they said, what have we to do with you? And they ended up getting kicked out. You know who it was? It was Legion. Jesus said, go. And they said, but we don't want to go down our darkness. So they said, there's a bunch of pigs. Jesus said, well, then go there. There they went. But the thing is, when he got on the scene, how many of you, when your CEO comes around, is it different? When the big boss comes around, is it different? You know, I work with businesses. And you can tell in a chain, a franchise, when the big owners are coming around, because they're all in a tizzy getting things cleaned up, worked out, straightened up, getting it all the way it's supposed to be. Because, you know, the rest of the time it's really not up to par. But boy, they'll tell me, they'll say, you know, the big wigs are coming to town this week. We're working hard to get it right. That's the way it is when Jesus just steps on the scene. When he just moves in, when he just walks in here in your life, things get right. Now, he walks in, but he'd rather you ask him in. He'd rather me ask him in. He'd rather me say, Jesus, can you please? Can you help me? Can you show me? Can you be here for me? Why? Because you have the power. We don't have any power. I have no power but in him. We have no power but under his name. His name gives you the power that you have, and it gives me the power that I have. And that power is awesome power. And when we let Jesus' power work, nothing can overcome you. Nothing can take you. When you and I walk in the power of Christ, the devil flees. But we have to walk in the power and submit ourselves to the power. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you will submit yourself, therefore, to Jesus Christ, submit yourself, therefore, to God, then when you resist the devil, he must flee. He will. When you're walking in Jesus and talking in Jesus, when we're living in Jesus, when we're praying with Jesus and we're communing with Jesus, well, the devil can't handle you when you got that all over you. The devil can't touch you when you're covered like that, because you and Jesus one-on-one, you and Jesus together, outnumber all the devil has. You see, me and Jesus together, we're a powerful team. You and Jesus together, you're a powerful team. Now, Jesus by himself is a powerful team. Me by myself ain't nothing but a weakling. But with him, I'm in good company. With him, you're in good company. And the closer you and I are, our relationships, the better it is with him, the more his power works in our life. You see, he has the power. Think about what he has the power over. Jesus has the power over, if we look at some things in the Bible, this is what it says. We look at the Hebrew boys. Jesus has the power over fire and the stench of fire. You know that? The Bible in New Testament says, think it not strange considering the fire trials of your faith. You're going to go through the fire. Maybe not physical, literal fire. But you're going to go through fire. The devil's going to make sure of that. But the Bible says that, think that not strange concerning that. Because just trying your faith. But when you walk with Jesus, he just overpowers. He overpowers the fire. Overpowers the fire, even the smell of it. We look at Lazarus and we see that he overpowers death. Again, even the smell of it. Even the smell of death has nothing to do with Jesus. When he comes around, it all cleans up. When he comes around, the rotten smells pretty. You ever thought of it that way? When he comes around, the ugly looks pretty. You know what I mean? He changes everything. He changes everything. When he comes around, things happen. He has the power, you know. He has the power of nature. Anybody here got the power of nature? You know, I one time, I'm not going to say I tested God, because I didn't. I put him out there. I used to be a runner at a bank, courier at a bank, and I'd go place to place to place to place to place, and I'd see different people. And I went to this guy one time. He worked for a company, and I stopped every day. And he said, we were talking about what his weekend plans were, and he says to me, he says, my boy's got this game in Roane County Saturday, but it's supposed to rain all day. It's supposed to rain all day. Well, I looked at him and said, that's all right, I'll just pray that it don't rain. He said, all right. I said, because my God can stop it. He said, well, we'll just see what kind of clout you have. I have none, all right? I have none. But my God has it all. So I said, God, you're on trial, not me. I can't do that. I can't make it stop raining. I can make it start raining. But you can. So I said, God, it's up to you. I'm going to be back here Monday, and he's going to come to me, and he's going to say either it didn't rain or it did. How big is your God? My God's this big. He stopped the rain. It didn't rain. Went back to him Monday. He said, well, guess you got some clout. I said, God did it all. Why? Because he controls nature. Think about it. He stopped for Joshua. He stopped the moon and the sun. On the boat, he stopped the wind and the waves. Why? Because he has the power even over nature. And who doesn't want that kind of work with that kind of power? And Jesus says, I will work with you. He's got the power. If we look at the woman with the issue of blood, he's got the power over sicknesses. Lepers, he's got the power over diseases. The Roman soldier with the ear cut off, he's got the power over injuries. He's got the power over all. And when you and I pray, when you and I talk to him, just talk to him, we tap into that kind of power and we get that kind of power working for us. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to get that kind of power working for you. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you, he made you. He made you to love him. That's what he wants you to do. Why? Because he first loved you. You see, his love is huge. It's big. You see, God loved you before you were even around. You know that? I like to put it like this. God planned for you before you. God planned for you before you. What do you mean? Well, we could go through a whole bunch of stuff. How he created the world just the way you like it. He created the earth just the way you like it. Think about that. If you like warm weather, it's here. If you like cold weather, it's here. If you like changing weather, it's here. If you like meat, meat is here. If you're a vegetarian, you like vegetables, they're here. If you like to breathe, oxygen is here. He did everything just for you, just for you. But that's not all. He said, I have a plan just for you. You see, I planned your life for you. The Bible says in Ephesians, according as he has chosen us before the foundations of the world, he has chosen us in him before the foundation. He knew you were going to be here before you were ever even thought about being here. He knew you before your great, 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 great grandpappy was born. You see, and he laid out a plan for you, just what he wants you to do. He planned everything just so your life would be good. See, the Bible says he came that we would have life, like Jimmy told us this morning, have life and life more abundantly. Why? So that he's got what you need to do, where you need to go, already worked out when we follow him. And the more we pray, the more we see that he has that, and the more that he loves us, and the more that he will do for us in our life. You see, God makes things happen. God makes things happen that you can't control, but needed to happen. Needed to happen. Let me take you back to a long time ago when I first met Lori. I don't think I ever told you all this part of the story. Maybe I have, I don't know. I first met Lori in math class down at State, right? I was shy. I wouldn't talk to nobody I didn't know any more than that piece of work they would talk to you. Because I was shy. I didn't like talking to people. So, first day she sat on the other side of my friend. I didn't say anything to her because she was clear over there. Next day my friend sits over here, so I sit there, so Lori sits over here. I do not know what to say, right? No idea. But you know what God did? In one of my earlier classes, I had met this dude that I didn't know before, and he was the most annoying dude I ever met. Just being honest, annoyed me to no end. But he was a friend of mine. He was just an annoying friend, all right? The same annoying dude crossed the path with her in another class. So I thought all the class, what can I say? Because I don't know what to say, because I was too shy. Like, you know, what if she rejects me? I'm almost going to cut both wrists and jump off top of the building. I don't know. I don't know, you know. So I said, annoying buddy of mine, thank you for being in this class. Because that's what we talked about first, was my annoying buddy. You see, God put him there in my other class, in her other class, so that when we would come in the same class, I could talk to her about my... Because you're not supposed to talk about people, right? But that's how I got to know her, talking about my annoying friend. Don't remember his name, but that's not important. I remember her name, and that's what is important. And I won't tell you her name. What is your name? Mrs. Bumpus. But see, God does things like that, crazy things, that you don't even see, you don't even know. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you enough to stop just for you, to stop just for you. I thought about the woman, the woman with the issue of blood. You know, when he stopped for that woman, he was on the way to do a good deed. You realize that? He was on his way to heal a girl. And on the way to healing the girl, the lady touches him. And virtue flows out. Now, she was healed with the virtue flowing out. And if it was me, I'd have probably said, you're welcome, as I walked on to the little girl. But he stopped to go into this good deed to meet her need. That's how much Jesus loves you. He stops right where you're at. You know that? He goes to where you're at. And he stops right where you're at to give you what you need. For this moment. For this moment. I'm just about done if we get ready to sing. And the key to it all is prayer. I think our prayer life is like our eating life. And it shouldn't be. What do I mean? How many of us eat fast food? How many of us hit the hole in the wall and go by? You know what I mean? The drive-through? Shoom. I think that's our prayer life too much. Fast. And only when I need it. Fast. And only what I need it about. And I want it now. Or you got 30 seconds. And we don't have the kind of prayer life that gives us a relationship close to God the way he wants us. You see, that's the key. That's the process. The key to unlocking whatever it is in your life that's locked, that you need, is prayer. And through that we get his power, and through that we get his love. And through prayer, he talks to you. Through prayer, he meets with you. Through prayer, he communes with you. Through prayer, he listens to you. Tonight, if you need Jesus, as we stand to sing, if you need Jesus, he's here. If you need to pray, he's here. Or if you just want to pray, he's here as we stand.
Page number 27. How long has it been? Your mind felt at ease. How long since your heart knew no burden?
and you call him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day worth the living? And you call him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
All right, now remember your homework. He remembers your homework I gave you for the week. Pray now. When someone says pray for me, pray now, whether it's on the phone or whether it's in person, hand to hand. Pray now. Give it a shot. Will everybody agree to do that this week between now and next Sunday? All right. Now you know what's going to happen now. You're going to have people ask you to pray for me now. You may have gone a month and nobody ever said pray for me, but this week people are going to say pray for me. All right, Mr. Tim, do you have something?
I just got one announcement. That's all I got.
All right.